Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Once upon a time, our ancestors talked into the cave and waited for the echo to understand their words. Now, many gabillions of years later, in the quiet corners of our digital world, where the hum of electricity meets the whispers of thought, we find ourselves face to face with a new entity, an artificial one. The echo that finally talks back. Perhaps there's something in the water, maybe AI is on the tip of everybody's tongue. Whatever it is, we've had so many amazing stories sent into us, we've been forced to turn volume 93 of the other stories into a bumper 8 story volume. So join us as we whisper into that well, as we shout into the cave, as we yell at our computer screens and phones, and listen to what calls back. But just to be clear, our stories are 100% meat made. We use real throats and vocal cords to narrate our stories, and real fingers and brains to think them up. We have stories this year from humans, Richard Reynolds, Georgia Cook, myself, arguably human, Anthony H. Roberts, Rich Hosek, and JT Shields, along with narrators Erica Ventura, Justin Fife, Josh Curran, James Barnett, aka Jimmy Horrors himself, and Sarah Jane Justice. If you enjoy what we do, be sure to become a TOS Plus member. This will get you access to the premium feed, which will include exclusive content, ad-free, early access, high-quality audio, and community fun times, if you're into that kind of thing. And you'll be supporting your favourite weekly weird fiction podcast. More info can be found at theotherstories.net/plus, or just go and subscribe either via Apple's premium podcast service or Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, over on Patreon we have one new superpowered patron, so prepare to taste the rainbow, smell the dream, and welcome to the superpowered Patreon team, John Peterson, the bite-sized banterer, the ability to communicate with any electronic device using only retro computer beeps and boops from his mouth. Beep boop, John. Boop beep. Thanks, John, for joining in the fight to take over the world of independent audio fiction. You'll get access to over 80 exclusive episodes a week early and ad-free. And this month's exclusive episode, A Choice in the Matter, written by Jason Fisher and narrated by Sarah Jane Justice. Anne has made a mess of life for herself and her daughter, Tina. A Book of Mazes offers a chance to determine her daughter's future if Anne is strong enough. And today we're going to have something a little bit different. I wanted to have a quick catch-up and conversation with the author of our last Halloween special and Hawk and Cleaver business partner, Daniel Wilcox. We're going to discuss some fun content that we have planned in the next few volume openers. So sit around and listen to some chit-chat and chin-wag from myself and Daniel Wilcox all about those future plans and about horror literature. So, see you on the other side.
Daniel Wilcox.
Luke Condor.
How's it going?
Doing very well, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, we were just saying, I don't remember the last time we did a podcast together, but we used to podcast together like once a week, and you even used to do the volume openers with us, right?
I did in the beginning, yeah. Yeah.
I remember doing one in a Comic-Con, like a...
Yes, like a we sat in like a little like side space and did some recording. Yeah. Yeah, that feels like years. I mean, it was years ago. It was, what, the Story Studio was 2016, 2017, around that time.
Yeah.
So,
and you listen to it all the time, right? You listen to it back?
I genuinely still do. I don't still go back and listen to some of them because I like hearing where we came from. And then also we had some really cool guests on there. So there's some really useful interviews.
I just feel like I can't listen to the younger version of me because the younger version of me was an idiot.
That's why I listen to the younger version of you.
Present version of me is still an idiot, especially to future version of me. He hates present me.
Yeah, just much more aware. That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought it'd be good to jump on, and we discussed a short while ago the possibility of bringing on some quite cool guests and bringing some pretty cool horror authors and introducing them to the Other Stories audience. Because, I mean, for both of us over the last however many years, we've been working in the horror space, we've been speaking to horror people, we know some pretty cool people, and so figured it'd be fun to bring some of that, as I say, to the Other Stories audience to share what's going on in horror.
Yeah.
Geek out about all the cool dark stuff and just bring some light to some amazing horror authors.
Well, I like to think of the Other Stories as like a magazine format.
Yes.
And I like to have people will know if they listen to the volume openers. I like to try and get little interviews in there and behind the scenes bits and pieces. And for ages, I thought it'd be cool to get more interviews with bigger name authors. And whereas I've been kind of doing the production stuff on the Other Stories, you have been interviewing some of these horror guys.
Yes.
Josh Malerman.
Eric Larkin.
Yeah, tons of these like big names at the minute, and I thought, why can't you do that for us?
I don't know. I mean, I could, but yeah, no, we I mean, the Other Stories is really the vehicle behind everything that's kind of been cool with my journey in horror. I'll speak for myself. I'm guessing with yourself as well, but like, I ended up going to Pittsburgh last summer to the StokerCon conference with Neil McRobert from the Talking Scared podcast, Gemma O'Moore, Bram Stoker nominated author, Ali Wilkes, Bram Stoker award nominated author, and some other really cool people, John Crinan, CC Adams. And we flew out there and just, I got to hang out with some just incredible people. Just got to sit down with Paul Tremblay, have a drink with him. Got to see Patrick Barb, who I know is doing lots of stuff with like Dan Howarth at the minute. There was just, I just did in the flesh again with Nick Cutter. That was really, really fun. That was like a real highlight for me because, you know, I love a bit of Nick. But yeah, I think it's, so what we really want to do going forward is try and get some of these names on. I've already got some people lined up to jump on, just got to finalize the dates and things. But yeah, some really cool people in horror jumping on the Other Stories and not only sort of shouting about their books, but geeking out about the other stuff that they love in horror so that we can get excited about everything that's coming up in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, it'd be fun, I think. It'd be interesting. It'd be a little change for the Other Stories. I mean, we're a story-first podcast, so the stories are always... Nothing's going to change there. But this would be like a bit of an extra piece of content if people want to jump into it and get a more well-rounded view of the horror landscape.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I'd be very interested. Yeah, because I admit that I was very blind to a lot of like the big, sort of more traditional horror stuff and what's going on there. I've been filled in a lot more the last few months. But like, I think it's just good to share people from all walks of horror, really. Like the independents, the traditionals, the non-incriminated.
So that will probably start from the next volume opener.
Yes.
In the minute, I don't know what number that would be because I've not got my numbers in front of me. But
you always have
the
next one in front of you.
The next one. Do we know who that would be yet, the first interview?
Very, very potentially Sam Rebeline, who is the author of Edenville, which is a brand new cosmic horror that is doing wonders around the rounds.
Awesome.
Fantastic read as well. Read it myself. Very, very good. And Sam's a lovely guy. So yeah, should have Sam scheduled up to chat all things cosmic horror and the future of the Edenville universe. But yeah, I did point out one of the things, the reason I reached out and said, let's jump on together, is we're both horror authors as well. So yeah. I have a question for you, Luke, which is, what are some of your top horror recommends to people? So people who might be new listeners, what would you recommend they read? People who
have been
listening for a while, what's some stuff that you would like to share?
Well, I think I did read this question before, but I thought it was going to be like recent recommendations. So I can read my, in terms of my all-time favorites, we're probably talking about Nick Cutter at The Troop, mm-hmm. which I think we've talked about a lot. Yes. What was the, my bookshelf's over there. What was the one with the people on the Mayan temple? And it's like flowers that kill people. Remember that one?
No. I'm intrigued.
The ruins. The ruins. The author's name is Kit. Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely brutal. They're two of my... If I say those two and also Uzumaki, the Junji Ito manga, those three books, in terms of my horror preferences, and it, throw it on top as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Those four books, if I turn to my horror preferences, they're probably up there because they're all quite brutal. Mm-hmm. They all make me feel a little bit sick, and I like to feel sick when I read horror. And the Junji Ito book is just wildly creative and bonkers, and I do love a bit of bonkers. But yep. In terms of like recent stuff that I've read, that I would very much recommend. So one. Is this even horror? I don't know. It plays with like horror tropes and fantasy tropes, but it's more of a story for maybe it's a young adult novel. I think it's for younger people than that. It's called The Monster Calls by Patrick Ness. And it's about this young boy whose mother's got cancer and is dying. And then every time he goes to sleep or goes to bed, where there's this yew tree in his back garden that comes alive and it turns into this monster. And it tries to scare him, and it said it's got to tell him three stories, and then the boy has got to tell him the story. And the reason I like it so much is because it's obviously like hugely metaphorical, in the sense that what's happening on the fantasy side is 100% just a metaphor for what's happening in the real world for this little boy. And I think that's what I love about it. It feels like the kind of dark fantasy book that any young kid could read and get like a really emotional punch out of it, because it is, I know a lot of people have said it brought him out in tears, and also it's a bit of a gateway book for people who just like monsters, because it is a pretty cool monster, this giant yew tree smashing through stuff. And then should I go in another one, or do you want to do something?
No, shoot, let's go for it.
Okay, I'll do a comic book as well. I think if you like the other stories, and if you like the kind of stuff that I put out on the other stories, you might like this comic book. It's called Ice Cream Man. And I can't remember the author's name or the artist's name. You'll have to look them up. But it's an anthology comic book series. I think there's like 9 volumes of it so far. And they're all different stories. It's like the other stories are different takes on horror. Some are comedy, some are purely dark, some are more metaphorical, and some are fantastical. But the majority of them include this demonic ice cream man who is influencing the world in some way or another. And although the story isn't sequential, it's not serialized, as we go through these different interlocking stories, or unrelated stories even, we're learning more and more about this ice cream man. And it's just, the best I could describe it, because I read volume 7 first, which is probably not the right way to do it. but every single story is so creative and so... just takes a completely different approach to this one idea of an ice cream man. And they even did one story in volume 7. There was something that I wanted to do for ages, which was a reverse Kafka story. So Kafka did the Metamorphosis, which is when Gregor Samsa wakes up as a bug and he has to go to work. Have you read Metamorphosis?
I haven't, no.
I mean, it's a really good book. It's very strange. I think if you read it, you'll get an idea of why I write some of the stuff that I do. But they did a reverse version of that, where a bug wakes up and starts to turn into a human and starts to go to work. And it's this bug trying to be a human in the human world but doesn't quite understand it. And it's just, it's like a, it's beautiful and dark, really funny, and just strange. Yeah, Ice Cream Man. If you look at, if you just go Google Ice Cream Man and look at the different covers, you'll see what I mean. It's like,
yeah, I've got one in front of me. It's W. Maxwell Prince, written by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same artist through all of the stories as well, I think.
Martin,
the majority
Marazzo.
Of them. Yeah, which adds a nice bit of continuity between the entire thing. Because normally comic books, if you have different artists, it can feel a little bit disconnected. But I really recommend just checking it out, because it's, you know, if you don't like one story, you might like the next. But at the same time, it is building a larger mythology around this Ice Cream Man. And the covers are all amazing, especially when you get different artists to do the covers. Because everyone has like a really creepy take on the demonic Ice Cream Man. It's cool. I really like it.
Nice. What about you? Such a simple thing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favourites, Nick Cutter, as you say, like, The Troop is arguably one of my all-time favourite horror novels. I always find it, because I have favourites in the sense of how they made me feel at the time. So right up there as well, I've got three. I've got Girl Next Door, Jack Ketchum, Adam Neville's The Ritual, and
The Troop. Good.
Yeah, and I'd kind of place them very, very similarly, because they're all kind of novels. But they all really, really pulled me in. They really, really engrossed me. And they're just very, very rich, sensual prose. So you really get drawn in by sight, sound, touch, smell. Like, it covers the whole sort of spectrum.
Those three books, when I think of your style of writing, those three books do kind of sound right, if that makes sense. I just mean, it's like, you do have you like to cover all the senses in quite a, your writing is very sensory, if that makes sense.
I try to get very much in the character's head, probably in the first draft at least, very much to my detriment, because there's a lot of shit in there that doesn't need to be. But yeah, so those ones I absolutely love. And there's also something, obviously there's supernatural elements in many ways, but there's a realism to the situations. I like those kind of, like, you know, The Troop is a bunch of Boy Scouts on an island and a guy comes up in a rowing boat with a tapeworm in him. That's The Troop. The Ritual is four guys going off on a stag do and getting lost in the woods in, I can't remember specifically where, some Scandinavian country. And what happens after that. And then The Girl Next Door is a new girl moves into the town and everything. Like, they're such simple premises and they're all very close. Like, I like stories that have sort of big fantastical concepts. Like, we did Weave World by Clive Barker. You can very much argue is huge scope and fantastical. But I like the ones where you get really, like, into the characters' head and stuff. So I'm on a real binge at the minute of novellas, of shorter works. I'm a big fan, huge fan at the minute of Cassandra Cor. Like, I kind of discovered a liking of more cosmic horror about a year and a half ago. I started studying.
When Dream.
Yeah,
where Dream came from.
So a lot of that came from that kind of research and that playing around with the Lovecraftian side of horror. And I don't know, my reading is kind of at the minute bordering between horror and really, really dark fantasy. So kind of on those supernatural, fantastical, blurry lines, because Hammers on Bone by Cassandra Cor is cosmic. It's a cosmic god basically stuck in a kind of noir 60s PI, which is a lot of fun as they're going and trying to, like, solve this sort of investigation.
What was the one she did? She co-wrote one called The Devil Takes the A-Train or something. But the cover of that looked amazing. I really want to pick that up.
I'm not sure. Has that come out now?
Oh, maybe it hasn't. I don't know.
It was coming out. I'll look that up in a second. But
yeah,
Cassandra Cor's got a lot going on and her writing is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll plug the book that got me into writing, and I think it's kind of appropriate given that, you know, the other stories is very much short stories fiction. Is Everything's Eventual by Stephen King. Like, I talk a lot about it.
I read that recently. Yeah.
Did you? And it's not even I wouldn't even say it's his best short story collection. But I would say that it's the first one that I read and it really opened up my possibility to what short stories could be. So the first story, Room Autopsy 104.
So that story partly inspired the story I wrote at Christmas. I don't know if you heard that one, but it's about a man stuck in a chimney, basically. And then Autopsy 104 is about the guy who's been Oh, I see. Spoiler alert. A guy's been bitten by some sort of snake. And he wakes up in an autopsy. Yeah, and he wakes up in an autopsy. And he's about to get... What do you call it when someone's about to autopsy you? He's about to get cut to pieces. Yeah, he's about to get autopsed. And he's like, he's aware of everything, but he's completely paralyzed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. That is a great story. That is an amazing story.
Yeah, yeah. As an opener as well, you just kind of go, whoa. Yeah. And then, yeah, there's one there about like a kid going off fishing and encountering the devil by the river. And
yeah
it's a fantastic collection. So I'll plug that one. Is there anything, because I feel like horror, whether it's the bubble that I'm currently in terms of like who I'm following, what I'm kind of paying attention to, horror does seem to be in a real kind of contemporary revival at the minute. Like I'm seeing so much come out of horror, even books that are horror that are coming out as not horror. Books like Daniel Krauss's Whalefall is glorious, but it's
not marketed
as horror. Yeah, it's,
is it not?
No, it's... I don't even know how it's marketed, but it's really not pitched as like a horror book. It's gorgeous. I recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. But what are some of the people or the books that you're paying attention to at the minute, and why?
Wow. I don't even... Yeah, it's a difficult question because I'm trying to, at the minute, read more widely. And by that, I mean I'm trying to read more poetry books. I'm trying to read more non-fiction books. Because I read about 50 short stories, submissions to the other stories, about 50 a month, maybe more than that, a lot. So I do feel like I get my fill to some extent in terms of like short horror stuff. So at the minute, I just finished reading a poetry book. I've just started this book called A Wild Swan and Other Tales, which is like dark reimaginings of fairy tales, which is a gift for Christmas that I'm looking forward to jumping into. But in terms of what I do feel like I'm a bit out of the loop because I see a lot of indie horror books and publishing companies bringing out these like novellas, like the Eric LaRockers and the Weird Punk books and all that kind of thing. And I see them keep, and I keep thinking, you know, that looks amazing. I'm going to pick that up. But then because I've just got so much reading to do anyway, it just kind of falls by the wayside. Maybe you can recommend me some of the new modern stuff.
I mean, I've literally suffered from that over the last year. I've got a shelf that's been filling up with new books from different people that I've not read. And I'm finding myself like... So there's a couple that have been absolutely raved about that I do want to jump on. Like I've got Tananarive Due wrote a book called The Reformatory, which came out last year. And I've heard nothing but good things for that. So I've got that. And it's interesting because of my reading habits at the minute, like preferring shorter books, it's quite a chunky one. And I'm having a real kind of like in my head now of like, when do I get to that? Because, you know, you've got to invest in a story like that. So Tananarive Due's one. I had one. Oh, what popped up in my head? Oh, I really want to go back and read a couple of the... I don't even know if it's classed as classic now, but I'm really, really got my eye on John Langan's The Fisherman.
Okay, I've seen that pop up a ton. In fact, there's a Facebook group, isn't there, called Books of Horror that I'm in. I think you must be in that group as well, right?
Maybe. I'm rarely on Facebook these days.
Oh, well, there's a Facebook group called Books of Horror, and they're constantly recommending various books, and The Fisherman comes up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's got, like, I don't even know when it came out, but it's got a lot of lot of oomph behind it. Philip Fracassi, Boys in the Valley. That's had a bit of a journey to publication because that actually came out like 2 years ago and then got bought up by traditional press and then got re-released in November, I think it was. And there's an onslaught of female horror authors who are absolutely making the rounds, which are like, I've recently read CJ Leeds' Mayfly,
which the cover to that is awesome.
Yeah, it's
gross. I see all this stuff happening. I see all this stuff coming out and I just think, oh, I'll get to that at some point. And then by the time I might have a bit of time to do it, to get it, there's like some other stuff that's like flying out. That there's just so much stuff being published at the minute.
That's the nature of the beast. That's how it goes. I think that's the thing. The more you pay attention to it, the faster it comes.
Yeah.
Like, it was never an issue when I first started writing. It was just like, I'm going to read a bit of King. I hear he's pretty good.
Yeah, that is true. Especially when you start to know some of these people.
Yes.
And like you feel inclined to read them because you know them. And then your pile just gets bigger and bigger, and then you feel guilty because it's bigger. And then maybe you don't want to read as much because you feel guilty.
Yeah.
And then the pile just gets bigger because, like, this horrendous feedback, like, feedback loop of horror books piling up.
Well, I've got a bit of a solution for that, Luke.
What, read them?
No. Listen to podcasts that have short stories weekly published so that you can just incorporate that into your writing routine. This is what we do.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of, like, amazing stuff happening. I think it's really good to see sort of the quality of some of the stuff coming out. Some younger names making the rounds, some older names still kind of hanging on and doing good stuff. Like, I'd love to see some new Barker. I don't know if that's going to happen at any point.
I remember a couple of years ago, because he's getting on a bit, and I think he's been ill as well, but I remember a couple of years ago they said there was going to be another book of short stories in a playbook or something. Ooh. But I don't know what happened with that, actually.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, so that was the thing. One of my all-time favourite horror books that I've completely forgot about that I didn't mention, that is short stories, was The Books of Blood by Clive Barker, especially 1-3. When I read those, I was like, yeah, I want to write horror stories.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, do stuff for horror stories, because those stories are all so different, all so unique and strange and brutal in their own ways. Books of Blood, 1-3. There's some amazing stuff in there. In fact, you've probably seen a lot of them as films at some point in time.
Yeah. I managed to pick up a vintage cover one from a charity shop, and it is beautiful.
Is that like a, what is that, like a mask or something on the front? Or,
Yeah.
I might have that cover, I don't know.
Your shelf seems so far away. Every time you look, it's like a longing look into the distance.
Well, there's that shelf there, which is the one that has all my horror stuff on. There's that shelf that has my hardcover stuff that's a bit, and almost King hardcovers as well. So far, and I got my to read trolley over there, if you can see that. But that's
to read trolley
stacked. Yeah, it's stacked at the minute.
Yeah.
Got some Tim Leben in Magic by the Clive Barker.
Yes.
I can see Robert Aitman.
Oh, Leben's new book sounds awesome. Among the Living. It sounds very Last of Us-y.
Leben's another one of those guys who throws books out constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to get ready to read them.
Yeah.
Jeez, they're just like always one coming out. Josh Malerman's always bringing new stuff out.
Yeah. Got another one to sit through.
Oh, just slow down a bit. Jesus Christ, slow down. Yeah.
I will say, I do think for people listening to this who enjoy listening to, like, the other stories and all that kind of stuff and enjoy reading different bits of horror, like, read the full spectrum as much as you can, because, like, I feel like there's a real pressure sometimes when you're reading to be like, you must read these classics, you must read these contemporaries, you must, like, read the ones that grab you, because you're never going to be able to read them all. And for me personally, like, it's not about the canon. It's about finding the books that interest you and just going down those rabbit holes. I think when you can really lose yourself in a genre or an author, then that's kind of when you get the most reward from actually reading the books.
Yeah. I think I like to find an author I really like. Mm-hmm. And I just start delving into their back catalogue. And short stories are a great way to start. If you can find an author collection, it's a nice way to discover more about that author. So I feel like, if you read someone's short story collection, you get a much better sense of who they are as a rounded artist than if you just read one novel. Because people's novels can change from project to project, but a short story collection is like their sketchbook.
Yes.
You're getting insight into the kind of thing they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. A ton of recommendations. I don't know if you'll be throwing them all into the show notes.
Oh, bollocks. I forgot about that. Let me take some notes.
But yeah, there's a... The summary, there's a hell of a lot of horror out there. And over the next few months, I'm going to be reaching out. I'm going to be bringing people onto the show so that you can get a bit more behind the scenes of some of, hopefully, your favourite horror authors, and just sharing a bit more about what they do. So watch this space. I've got three hooked up on the line at the minute, and I'll be reaching out to plenty, plenty more. So, yeah, I'm excited to bring some of these authors to the other stories and have a little fun.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, man. So where can we follow you on social medias and stuff? On Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, flip-flop?
I'm on TikTok, but screw TikTok. I am everywhere pretty much. At Wilcox Author is my social media. So it's WILLCOCKS for Wilcox. And then all my horror stuff's over at danielwilcox.com. And if you're an author listening to this, then you can find out all my coaching stuff at activatedauthors.com. How are you, Luke?
Luke of Condor. Condor's felt with a K. pretty much everywhere. Instagram's my social. It's weird when Twitter changed. Like Twitter used to be my go-to, and now I just can't really use it. I don't know. I don't even miss it. Not
There's
once
a lot
ever
of that
gone.
Going around.
And it, when I was fully invested in Twitter, I was like, I can't imagine ever not using it. But now I just never go to it. Instagram's my go-to now. Instagram and Discord.
Yeah, I'm pretty much primarily just Instagram.
It's a nice place to be.
It's a wonderful place to be. It's all pretty pictures.
Yeah.
It's hashtags. Every now and then I get invited to be an ambassador of a brand that I have nothing to do with.
Reels that you can just watch stupid shit.
And so many shitty.
Lose videos. Hours of time. Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, this was fun. And yeah, I man. Will hopefully see you on one of these in another 2 years.
Yeah, man. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.